Well, hello. I'm Sean Hand. I'm in the Department of French Studies here at the University of Warwick, and I'm joined this afternoon by my fellow winners of the university's fabulous feedback competition, and they are Richard and Ian. I'll ask them to introduce themselves to you.
Hi, I'm Richard Lampard from Sociology.
And I'm Dr. Ian Tesley from Warwick Manufacturing Group, and a lot of what I do is for the School of Engineering.
And we're hopefully going to share with you now our experiences of providing feedback and what we think makes good feedback, why it's important, and maybe some thoughts as well of how we as academics could do this a lot better, for the benefit of our students, of course, and maybe even for ourselves. So, let me kick off by saying that I'd like to hear a bit more from Richard and then Ian regarding why they thought they won this fab feedback and what they think it has made them realise about feedback and the process. Maybe Richard first.
Right, okay. I mean, I should come clean that I think one of the reasons I won this was that on at least one of the modules I teach, I have a very coherent bunch of students, or had last year, who talk to each other and I think collectively decided that they were all getting what they perceived as good feedback and written feedback on formative assessments. And I think there was almost a sort of, I wouldn't say a mass movement because it wasn't a sort of huge number of students, but something quite collective. Obviously, there's an element of luck in terms of getting sort of students who are that sort of motivated, engaged. But having said that, they weren't talking about nothing. And the thing that I've always tried to do is, in a sense, the basics, which is providing an adequate amount of feedback so that they don't feel short-changed. And making it sort of relatively tailored to the specific issues which are evident in their work as a particular sort of individual. And then finally, there's the sort of obvious question of timeliness, you know, operating within the sort of university's guidelines, but actually sort of within that context, trying to get some feedback back to students as quickly as is practically possible.
Does that tie in with your experiences, Ian?
Very much, and as Richard has suggested, I too will own up to the fact that I suspect that one of the principal reasons why I came out so well in this was because I asked a lot of the students that I encounter, and I do lecture to some core modules with many students on them, and I asked them to engage with the process. I emphasised that the process was anonymous, and I encouraged them to nominate anybody that they felt was giving us examples of when the job is being done well with regard to feedback, and emphasised the point. You know, there was certainly a lot of talk at the time, as there is now, about the importance of feedback and assessment, quality and timeliness, and made the point that this is feedback for us. It's the only way that we can develop the job that we are doing on their behalf and so on. But I did enthusiastically promote the competition, and I have exposure to more students than many of my colleagues may do. And they seemed very happy to tell us when we were getting it right. I think we often give students the opportunity to tell us when we don't meet their expectations, and a lot of them seem delighted to point out, you know, the occasions when they saw good practice, and I was very pleased with the wide range of nominations that came out.
Yeah, I in fact did exactly the same thing. I brought it to the attention of students, yeah. And was a bit slightly stunned myself when then I ended up being the person eventually nominated, because I was aware that there were quite a few people in the Faculty of Arts who had a reputation for doing this very strongly anyway. But what I realised, sort of in keeping with what you just said, Ian, was the case was that the students saw this as almost an interactivity, as part of a feedback process themselves.
Absolutely.
They could actually comment on feedback in this way and appreciated really creating something like a 360 in relation to feedback, precisely through being able to nominate some people and being able to state also why. Just picking up on what Richard said a minute ago, I think some of it's personality, maybe. It may be the case that we are the sort of people who want to engage, want to open up our modules. So, and there may be an element of coherence, I think, also that applies to something like students in French studies. For my part, some of my modules have also been rather contemporary ones, and I think that has maybe even naturally added a certain kind of buzz to it, so that discussion about things that can sometimes be absolutely evolving, I'm doing a module on France and globalization, this term, for example, events change on a daily basis, this can sort of itself create a certain interactivity. So it might be that some modules work better than others, simply because of the nature of their content, in relation to how we want feedback to work.
Simply the numbers engaged in a number of our modules. I know that many departments, their normal cohort would be, you know, in the tens, if that. I'm particularly familiar with standing up in front of 330 people at a time. And surely the dynamics of such sessions and the extent to which they feel they're getting personalised tuition suffers in these much larger groups, and so there's a greater need and expectation from them to have something beyond the regular, you know, lecture, seminar, tutorial sessions to try and make up for the group learning environment that is necessary in some of these courses.
Is that what you feel also, Richard, that there are different kinds of feedback that work for different groups versus individuals? What's your experience?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, this point about things getting sort of individualised through the feedback process, because my personal experience of teaching has, I think, always been that when the first piece of formative or assessed work comes in, and I provide some sort of feedback on that, that's a point at which a new kind of relationship is struck up with that individual, because sometimes the piece of work that comes in is markedly better, or for that matter markedly more problematic than a student's superficial appearance in sessions, what they say in sessions would seem to imply. And at that point, one can start having a kind of meaningful intellectual academic discussion with that student in an attempt to sort of bring them forward from where they're at. And so in a sense, there's this process of sort of getting to know individuals through feedback. But to follow up on the point that feedback is not all about written feedback on assessments, essentially, what I find is that process of getting to know students works when they ask questions that they need to ask to help themselves move forward, which, I mean, in a sense is another way of actually moving from a sort of collective experience of collective discussion or them attending a lecture where, in a sense, their scope for interactions and individual level is sort of minimal. The moment you get some kind of individual dialogue through feedback in a kind of conventional written form, or just some kind of answering of questions, fulfilling a sort of need that a student may have to move forward in a sort of particular way, then I think one moves on to a form of teaching which the students appreciate.
Very much so. I think Richard's actually referring to a discussion we had slightly before we started the recording, but it's something very important, I think, and it certainly came out from a number of the comments that I received, that not only the students, but many of my colleagues are under the impression, I think, that feedback in this context is restricted to what we write at the bottom of a piece of assessed work. Mm-hmm. And if you take a step back, I don't think it's terribly difficult to understand that what the students are likely to be actually wanting, and sometimes they may not appreciate this sort of point themselves, but what they really want is some help with their studies. They're coming to us to hopefully gain a good degree, and for some of them it's bewildering. In many cases, individual subjects or assessments can be quite alien to them. And if they want some advice or some help or some guidance on this, it's, the feedback in the classical sense of the comments that we return on the assessed piece of work is after the event. And certainly what I've tried to do, and certainly seems to be appreciated with a lot of the students that I've dealt with is answer their questions before the piece of assessed work is due to be handed in. Yeah. Make yourself accessible. And certainly this point of accessibility is one that came out very strongly in comments to me. So using a lot of things like web forums and email technologies and whatever form that they're accessible in.
I think that tallies an awful lot with my own experiences. In fact, I should say that in something like a language department, you've got two basic kinds of task, if you will, or group dynamic set up, and we're all schizophrenic in these kinds of departments, and one of them is therefore looking at language work, and so feedback in a sense is something that's happening all the time, because mm-hmm. classically you'd be working on a translation, people would have gone away, worked at it, brought it back to the next week's class, and the class would be going through their versions, pointing out what maybe were collective mistakes or problems, pointing out various alternatives that the class has thrown up. And so there's a constant kind of feedback process that's actually the teaching itself. But on the other hand, there's what we would call content modules, and that's more about, you know, France post-war, or France this, France that. I do stuff on representations of the Holocaust or modern French thinkers. So you can hear that there's what we call content there. And more classically, more traditionally almost, students will write up something that equates to an essay, and they're meant to get, as it were, the remarks at the bottom of the page back as a result. But that's a kind of minimal thing, isn't it? And there, for me, that's a little bit like getting over the embarrassment of a sort of batch production of students in a class, and, if you like, customizing through the feedback that they would then get on an essay, in such a way that there's a sort of individual perception of what that student is, what's specific to that student. And exactly what you were saying a second ago was my experience, which is that that's an entirely pragmatic sort of affair, and one of encouragement, really. It's to keep the ball rolling, I felt, and responsiveness, as much as response, in terms of feedback, was what the students seemed to appreciate most of all. Some of my colleagues, sort of mocking me, asked me what I had therefore actually done that warranted my nomination as opposed to their being nominated, because we all work roughly in the same kind of process.
And I actually received the comment that the nominations were taking place at a particular point during the term, when many of my colleagues hadn't actually set any assessments and certainly hadn't marked them and returned them. And they're saying, well, you know, how unfair, you know, we haven't had the opportunity to be considered. But I think, you know, sort of a lot of the things that we'd regard, we'd segregate it as feed forward or advice as to how to tackle an assignment or a piece of assessment. And I think from the student's genuine need, perhaps not always their perception, but all of this is what is really, you know, creating this thing. It's advice. It's answering questions and the timeliness of it, I think, is the important thing. If they have a question that occurs to them immediately after the lecture, they really appreciate, they love the idea of being able to ask it and get an answer now.
You mentioned web forums earlier. Do you want to say a little bit more
about
that?
Well, it's simply something that I requested the comments that accompanied my nominations for feedback for me from this whole process. And the thing that was not exactly surprising, but it was very noticeable in the number of people that felt it was worth commenting on. I enthusiastically maintain a web forum for my module, not least because, as I mentioned before, of the number of students I have to cope with in the thing, you know, 330-ish this year. And so I encourage them, if you have a question that you think any of your colleagues or your student body could benefit from hearing my response, if you ask me at the end of the lecture, or if you email me personally, then it's difficult to, you know, sort of like share the love. Whereas if it's posted on the web forum, there's much more opportunity for other people. Oh, yes, that hadn't occurred to me, but yes, that's very helpful. And last year especially, and I'm beginning to get a bit of momentum on it this year again, I encourage them to engage with this web forum. And the nice thing about that is it's not terribly difficult for me to, you know, visit it quite frequently. And so they were very appreciative of the response time on this.
It leads me to an obvious question, really, which is, what is there about feedback that still frustrates us? What is there about it that isn't helping us to do everything we'd like to do? And are there different kinds of feedback or improvements to feedback that we, just based on our experience, would venture to suggest we should trial and try and roll out in some way?
Following up on what Ian was saying, one of the frustrating things, I think, is about giving feedback is the extent to which that one will quite often be writing the same kind of constructive criticism on different people's pieces of work. And in a way, that's where the sort of web forum and things offers an opportunity to allow experience on the part of the tutors of the sort of feedback that they're giving to, establish a set of frequently asked questions or frequently occurring issues and so on. So in a way, feedback actually works two ways. It's something where the sort of tutors are feeding back to the students things that the students need to know, but in a sense, it also tells the tutors what it is that the students need to be getting to grips with that maybe they're not getting to grips with already. Now, on a piece of written feedback, then that goes back to an individual student and may move them forward. But if there's a way of actually feeding the knowledge from the feedback back into the sort of process that it helps students collectively, then that would be, I think, a positive move that some of us who haven't been doing web fora so far could make.
I'm reasonably low tech, but I found myself using social media in the past couple of years in a manner that's almost becoming more integrated into the teaching, almost as part of a feedback. There was a sort of light bulb moment for me a couple of years ago when I had, with some trepidation, put myself on Twitter. And a student on the year abroad tweeted about a remark that had been made at a political rally. I replied, another student replied to this, and we suddenly found ourselves almost having an online seminar via Twitter about the language being used during the presidential debates and hustings in France. It made me in a very low-tech kind of way realize that there are all kinds of things that one needs to be able to embrace in order to bring in as part of the pedagogical process. And there is, if you will, a certain hierarchy that still exists. Some things are the academic, pedagogically correct way of doing it. Other things are somehow less formal or deformalized or outside the teaching scenario. But I'm not sure that I want these distinctions to exist much anymore.
Very much. I think it's quite notable that being a generation of university-based people that have grown up with the spread of emails and the internet in particular, I find that our expectations of how we anticipate getting communications across to students are very much embedded in those technologies. And the thing that I think is worth bearing in mind is that many of the people that are coming to university now are much less familiar with the use of email, because their preferred way of communicating with each other is texting, social media, Facebook, Twitter, as you say. And there is certainly a reluctance amongst, I think, it's a generational thing, I would anticipate very largely, that you don't really want to engage with students using things like Facebook. And yet this is the way that a generation certainly chooses to communicate. And so it's worth us adapting our practices to at the very least meet them halfway. I certainly make the point to all of my students, please try and bear in mind this is how we anticipate getting our messages across to you. Yeah. But I think we're beholden to try and meet them halfway and think of, well, what is the current means of communication preferred by them? And it doesn't surprise me at all that you venture into Twitter yield sort of like a surprising level of engagement.
Because there's less resistance to
Absolutely.
It in a way. It's regarded as a natural social way of communicating. And so hey, you can use that in order maybe to turn it then gently towards an interactive pedagogical process. I hope that doesn't sound too Machiavellian. I mean, the final observation I would want to make is that I sometimes feel the feedback I can give is very constrained by the format of teaching I'm supposed to adopt. And I don't know if you have experience of working out of the classroom. A little kind of project I have, I would like to see come to fruition, would be teaching more in situ. You know, I would love to take, if I'm teaching Representations of the Holocaust, a class to a part of Paris, and the ethnographic experience of that might generate different kinds of feedback. It could be entirely oral. It could be really about a tangible reaction to the situation that we've put ourselves into. I don't know if you have feelings about the nature of teaching and its relationship to feedback.
I can't say I recognise in what I'm doing too much of what you've explained there, Sean. But certainly, I think the idea of differentiating from the stand up in the lecture, where you're with the best, you know, sort of like practice in the world, you are ultimately conveying information essentially one way. Certainly, with large group teaching. But the idea that to open yourself up to all the other ways and means of making a more two-way dialogue go. And I've got to return very swiftly from it to a point, Richard, because I agree so much with your point about this generates an awful lot of frequently asked questions. Mm. And the use of those, we are very concerned about the timeliness of feedback that we give to students, and yet these frequently asked questions, at the moment an assignment is handed in all likelihood you're in a position to be able to tell them immediately what you anticipate the common mistakes they'll have made are. Mm. And it delights them if you can say to them, I haven't read your work yet, but whilst I'm marking it, consider this list and ask yourself absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know that can create a very good impression, because they feel they've got some feedback, and it may not be personalised. And you can say, you know, and it's understood. It'll take me a few days to get around to reading everybody's work and getting the personalised bit back. But in the meantime, these are things that you're probably going to have to some degree, you know, fallen foul of. And they recognise that, you know, invariably.
And Richard, do you have final thoughts about transforming teaching itself?
Well, I mean, in a sense, one of the kind of problems is that any kind of advancements are likely to kind of take time in terms of bedding them in, and also take time in terms of extra time to do them properly. But just following on sort of from what Ian was saying, I think one of the times when students get feedback which might have occurred on the assessment of a finally submitted piece of work or a formative piece of work, but actually occurs at an earlier stage, is when students show you draft material because they're worried that there's something sort of wrong with it, and then you can kind of discuss with them and sometimes anticipate what those problems are likely to be, so you can brief students and then less students will approach you with those kind of problems. So, I mean, in the sense that one can do a certain amount of kind of avoiding constructive criticism by preempting the problems by saying to students, look, you are likely to experience this kind of issue that you're going to have to deal with. Or you can go down the accessibility and availability line of saying, if you have a problem while you're working on this, come and chat to me about it. Don't submit something as a sort of assessment if you're worried that you're doing things completely the wrong way. Come and see if we can kind of resolve the problem first. And of course, in a sense, that moves away from this model of feedback occurring at a discrete point in time to it being part of a dialogue, a constructive dialogue, helping students move forward, which occurs the whole way through the teaching process. Yes. And obviously, I mean, people have been saying how, in a sense, we're part of groups of colleagues who very largely are giving kind of useful and constructive sort of feedback. And at the end of a module, when you've given students some advice relating to how to sort of write essays in a more structured way, for example, that you then pass the sort of dialogue on to colleagues in subsequent years. So in a sense, we're not just all individuals giving feedback on individual modules. Sure. We're part of groups of individuals who are doing a broadly similar process within departments, you know, diverse but broadly similar. And in that sense, I share the feeling of the other contributors that, you know, it could have been colleagues sitting here depending Absolutely. On who was giving assessment feedback sure. at the right time.
Well, that seems like a good point at which to conclude. And I want to thank my colleagues Richard and Ian enormously for giving me lots of excellent ideas that I'm going to go away and exploit. I'm Sean Hand, and hopefully we've given everyone listening to this a bit of food for thought when it comes to giving feedback to our students in the future. Thank you for listening.